Welcome to Ever Beyond. Broadcast through the Wolf Spirit Media Network. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. Please join us in the chat room at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. Oh yes, you were listening. This is the 18th of December. It's 2300 UK time on Sunday, the 18th of December. And this could have been 2012. It's pretty an intense year. So as is my wont on a regular basis, I invite the lovely Shailene Tétrault, I just love to say your name actually, to discuss the Ayurvedic point of view, the Eastern medicine, holistic, approach that's been around for thousands and thousands of years before Western medicine came along and messed everybody up. Tonight, theme of the week really has been relating to others. You know, there's a lot about world peace. We can't have world peace until we can relate to another. And we can't relate to another until we can relate to ourselves in our own inner turmoil is settled. So let's look at that and look at some of the other questions that we have in relating to each other. So good evening or good afternoon, Shailene. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. It's evening here as well, where I'm living. It's about 6 o'clock right now.
Has the sun set? Are you?
Yes. Yeah, right now since we're getting towards the winter solstice, in a couple of days, it's sort of like the darkest time of year, for where I'm living in this part of the world. And, that's sort of why I wanted to talk about relationships, because as we're sort of in the darker time of the year, on this coast anyway, in the U.S., I was trying to think about what would be a good subject to kind of sink our teeth into today. So I thought just exploring relationship would be great, because we always have to, as you just said before, we always have to start with ourselves and kind of reflect inward. So I thought we could talk about relationships and things like, what are different constitutional types of personalities? And, there's always going to be ideal personalities that should kind of go together in a relationship, whether that be a love relationship or a friendship. But that doesn't always happen. Often we end up with, these types of personalities that are similar to our own in a way. And, there can be certain challenges with that. So we can definitely talk about all that. And I'd love to hear from people in the chat as well if they have specific questions about their thoughts about relationships. I have some tips, too. I always love to give tips to help people get through any kind of difficulties that they're having as well. So, yeah. So I don't know. I guess we can start with I'll try not to throw in too many esoteric terms, but I can't help it. Every once in a while, I kind of do that. And JP, you can keep me on track if I'm going too off the rails. But
I'll wait till my jargonometer reaches about 7, and then I'll chime in and say, "Whoa, hold those yeah. horses, hold them words. Let's define a few things." So, now, obviously to a lot of our newer audiences, some of the terms that you use are Sanskrit words, which mean different things, although there's words that sound familiar, like, for instance, kappa sounds like, the Greek word. So, people are familiar with Phi Kappa Alpha, these fraternity names. There's a lot of words that you'll use, So do you want to give us a quick Well, maybe not. We'll just go into it and let's see, and I'll stop you if I don't understand what you're talking about. I'll get you to expand a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Because when I do use a Sanskrit word, I often try to give the direct translation so that people can begin to connect the two. But just going back to, in Ayurvedic medicine, we try to cultivate something called swastha, which is to be established in oneself, and that's considered to be a strong state of health when we're established within oneself, in your body and your mind and your emotional state. So really, when I talk about relationships, it's really, I'm really talking about the self. And so, you know, if you have any listeners that are not in a specific kind of love relationship right now, this talk still definitely pertains to them, because we are always in relationship to others, whether it be our families or our neighbors, or even if you're a little hermit living in the middle of nowhere, you're going to be in relationship to the outside natural world, more esoteric forces around you. You're also going to be in relationship with your culture. And, you know, with whatever kind of media you're taking in, whether that be, you know, alternative media such as here, or the more mainstream type of media. So, you know, relationship really can, we can really look at that in a broader sense. And we can also look at that through the love relationship, because that's certainly an interesting subject to go into. So for swastha, it's S-W-A-S-T-H-A. That's just the spelling, but that's fine. And that is, so when you reach a state of being established in oneself, that's a really good starting point. And every individual that's born on this earth, we all share similar qualities, but we also have our unique makeup of those qualities. And that's what makes us an individual. So in the qualities inherent in all things, and I've talked about this before, so JP, this will sound familiar to you, but there's an understanding that there's 20 qualities and there are 10 pairs of opposites. And so these qualities, an example would be hot and cold. So those are two qualities inherent in everything, but one thing or one person may have more of a hot quality to them or more of a cold quality to them. Another example would be heavy or light. Now, some people have more of a heaviness to them. That could be their physicality, or that could also be their emotional state is more a tendency towards the heavier emotions, whereas someone else may be lighter in their makeup. So they're going to be physically more lithe and fragile, and their emotions are going to be a little bit lighter and harder to pin down. They may kind of oscillate between one emotion and another. And so those are some generalizations, but it's kind of a good starting point, I think, to begin to get an idea. So it's really great to try to spend some time, of course, getting to know yourself. And sometimes we will just give in to our tendencies without really raising our awareness about why do we have these tendencies to react a certain way to a situation. Now, you know, you could have one situation occurring in life, but yet 20 different people will respond or react differently to that situation depending on their state of awareness or depending on their tendencies, their constitution, that kind of thing. So I think what I'd like to do is give you some examples of different constitutional types. And for the listeners, you know, maybe you can begin to think about what some of your emotional tendencies might be and maybe start to relate to what I'm saying in that way by just reflecting upon your own tendencies. And when I talk about these tendencies in Ayurvedic medicine, which is actually a very, very ancient and old tradition, originated in India. It's a very old science of life. It's over 5,000 years old. And Ayurveda has this deep, deep understanding that people are not separate in any way from nature. We are the same. We are deeply connected to nature, and nature is connected to the divine. So we too are part of the divine. So when I talk about these qualities, there are, I'm going to say there's three main types of emotional tendencies, physical tendencies, and personality types, just to keep it simple. Now, as you know, these are generalizations, but things can get way more complicated, but I think this is a good starting point. So there are people that are very, very fiery in their tendencies. So if you think about fire, you think about heat, some other qualities for fire are mobility, lightness. You know, fire is a little bit subtle. Fire in itself, it's not something that you can, it's not a solid thing. It moves around all the time. You know, if you look at a flame or, you know, a candle flickering, it's not completely dense. It's more subtle. And it's always being moved by the air in the room. So fiery people, they tend to be quite passionate in nature, and they also tend towards having a little bit of a temper when they encounter a stress or any kind of situation where they're being challenged. Their go-to is having a temper. So I'm sure there's, you know, everyone can think of either themselves or someone that they know, like, oh yeah, that person definitely has a temper. When they, you know, when they get upset, just leave the room. You don't even want to be around them. Their face gets all red, that kind of thing. So that's one type, the fiery types. And another type is the water and earthy types. So the water and earthy types, they tend to be much more dense, and I don't mean that in a negative way, dense and solid in their physical makeup and also their emotional stability. And that can be quite positive in a lot of ways, but it can also be challenging if you want these very solid, unmovable people to change their minds or to be motivated to do something. Water and earth people, they tend to be very loyal, but sometimes they can also be get too attached to things or people. So that's a kind of a good starting point if when you think about water and earth people. Watery people tend to be a little bit more sentimental. And then finally, there's the air type of people. And airy people tend to be very mobile, hard to pin down. They're very creative. Emotionally, they're sort of, they can vacillate between one emotion and another, crying one minute, laughing the next, quite easily and quickly. A lot of creative types, like I said, tend to have a lot of airiness within them. They can become easily bored, which is a bit of a challenge. They have a hard time with stability. They may not actually even like to be in a relationship because that may feel really binding to them. They can tend towards drama, being attracted to dramatic situations.
Yeah. This doesn't sound like the kind of girlfriend that anybody wants, really.
Oh, there's positives and negatives to all three.
No, that's all right. Go on.
Well, so I'm like, JP, have you had a tough time with an airy girlfriend?
I've had everybody, you know, like fire, yeah. Water, air. And there are some that are more easy to get on with for me, mm-hmm. for me, just saying, exactly. Just for me, than others, let's say.
Sure.
You know, sure. We all have our compatibility. And obviously that's something that you're going to be talking about later, is yeah. Which ones are compatible with which ones, because it's stone, paper, scissors, isn't it?
It is like that, actually. In Ayurvedic medicine, there is a principle of, or an understanding that like increases like. Now, in other types of medicines, opposite actions are used to make a change. Well, actually, that's the case in Ayurvedic medicine as well. But there's an understanding that if you have heat and you add heat to it, it's going to add more heat. It's just going to increase fire. So, you know, for that example, if you have a fiery person who is in a relationship with another fiery person, there's going to be a tendency towards fiery emotions. So both passion and fighting and anger. So that can be, you know, there's pros and cons to both. So when there's the ideal mix of these elements, these elemental qualities in people, but rarely or often you're not going to necessarily get into a relationship with someone who's the like perfect balance for you. It's really hard to discern that. You're better off actually getting your charts read. You know, when you fall in love, all intellect goes out the window. It's really hard to kind of take a step back and be like, oh, you know, I'm in love, but I should get my chart checked and make sure I'm compatible with this person. I mean, it's hard to do that. So it's better to do it before you get in too deep. But anyway, so if you have two watery and earthy people together, they're going to be like very into just being at home and not getting out much and kind of lots of cuddles and, but they may get kind of stuck and stagnate a little bit. They may not be motivated to do a lot to kind of go out into the world. And they could become too attached and too dependent in their relationship. That could be one of the negative aspects, but you would find a lot of loyalty there between two water earth types. And if you can get two airy people together, the tendency for that relationship almost always is going to be, fairly short-lived because two people who are easily bored and don't like stability, that's just like together quickly and, quite dramatically and then apart quickly and quite dramatically. So, and we, you know, we as individuals, we're not all air, or we're not all water and earth, or we're not all fire, but we do have, a lot of us will have a predominance of some of these elements over others. So if we were to look at kind of like, ideal relationships, I would say that if you have a very fiery person, they're actually going to do fairly well with, a water earthy person. Because water and earth, those two elements actually have a lot of coolness to them. So a water-earth person can actually both withstand a pitta person's fiery nature and also help to calm and cool them. Now, I'm not saying one person is responsible for helping another person to deal with their emotions, but it can be a nice exchange and a nice balance. Also a fiery person can help motivate a water and earth person, motivate them to actually, get out into the world a bit more or to make some needed changes in their lives. And that could be the same for an air person and a water earth person. That can also be a beneficial combination. So, the strong stability of a water earth person can really help calm an air person. And then likewise, the air person can really help, to inspire the water and earth person. But you know, when does this happen? It's not always the case. I mean, I've definitely been I tend to have relationships with, I'm quite a fiery person and I'm just looking back into my past resume. And, I think I did have a lot of relationships with people that were quite fiery. And, so there was a lot of tendency towards, you know, falling in love very strongly and, you know, a lot of passion. But then when stressors came into the relationship, as they always do over time, it's just a natural occurrence. We encounter stress. And we're not on our, quote, best behavior after a time. Then there's a tendency towards fighting and towards a battle of this need or this desire to be the one in control or making all the choices. And so that definitely needs to get looked at. So it doesn't mean that two fiery people can't be together, but that needs to be looked at. And I can definitely give some tips later on about how people can work through their relationships. So, yeah, Fire and Fire. I'm trying to think of some other examples. Let's see. Well, like I said before, you know, water and earth people, they can tend towards complacency and stagnation. And that can be very detrimental as well. So I wonder if there's anyone, any of the listeners there, if you're getting a sense sort of what your tendencies might be. You know, like fiery people are going to be probably attracted to other fiery people because they can both withstand that intensity that they have. And water and earth people, they move quite slowly. Their passion takes a while to build, but once it's there, it's very strong. So it's almost like fiery people, if they're with a water earth person, they just need to be patient, have a little bit, cultivate that patience. So, let's see.
One of them saying, I don't mind fire. Hang on, where is it? The chat room is moving so fast, there's so many people in it. poetically mistaken, guess I need a fiery gal, but I don't like redheads romantically. You don't have to be redhead to be fiery. There are lots of different flavors of fieriness.
Yeah, that's true, but that person is correct. Most redheads have quite a bit of fire in them naturally. but yeah, there's a lot of fiery people that don't have red hair. So, but you know, there could be all different reasons, why a person may not be attracted to a certain type of, constitution. And a person may not be attracted to a fiery person because they either have quite a bit of it in themselves and it just aggravates their own fieriness when they see that reflected in someone else and they haven't come to peace or they haven't seen the positive aspects of their own fieriness. Or where was I going with that? With the fire. Oh, it just slipped my mind. Anyway. But yes, we have all of these elements within us. So, you know, reflecting on, okay, what are my tendencies? And if I meet someone with similar tendencies, is that just going to increase our negative tendencies or not? And I would say the more that you can cultivate self-awareness and see how you're reacting to a situation, the easier it's going to be for you to navigate through any kind of relationship. Someone's saying something about being a water and earth person and they end up being with a lot of fiery people. And they thought it would always be nice to have another water earth person, but I guess neither one of you would ever leave the house. Well, I mean, that might be your tendency, but if you were both aware that you have a tendency towards just staying in the house and being complacent, then you can take that awareness and really use that awareness to get yourself out more or make friends. That's when friendships come in handy. You know, if your partner, your long-term committed partner is the same tendency as you, then you can cultivate friendships with people that have different qualities, other than you and your relationship. So there are many ways to kind of balance, the elements in our lives. So, anything you want to add in, JP?
Well, you know, getting the balance right, because you're talking about a three-legged thing. Balancing a three-legged thing is tricky, isn't it?
So when you say three-legged thing, what exactly do you mean?
Well, you're talking about a triplicity of fire, air, and water. Or, you know, you're combining water and earth, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm combining water and earth, and I could even combine air and ether. That's another element I haven't really talked about together. I feel like sort of subdividing into these three main tendencies is a really good starting point to understand.
Okay, do you want to talk about that then? The main tendencies, and then how the tendencies interact with each other in a practical way.
Sure. Well, one example would be if you have a fiery person interacting with an airy person, some things that can happen, you just think about what happens when air and fire meet. If it is quite a strong fire and you add some air to it, you're going to get a bigger fire. So what can happen often is that sometimes the scattered tendencies of an airy person, the very mobile and scattered tendencies of an airy person can aggravate the other person's fire, because a fiery person is actually very focused. Generally speaking, they're quite motivated and focused, whereas an airy person is motivated and scattered. And so, you know, when fire and air meet, it can raise fire in a way that, like a person's temper will be raised. So let's say, it could even be like a parent and child. So let's say a parent had asked a child to do a certain task, some simple task, like put your socks away or something like that. And the child, you know, hears the request, but goes and does a million other things, and the socks end up on the floor somewhere, like in a different room. And that will sometimes tend to aggravate a very, very fiery person, because they wanted one simple task done, but the airy child had all these other ideas in place and didn't get the task done. So that can create someone to have a kind of a bit of a temper in their response, if they're just reacting, if they're not aware of their own tendencies. And, you know, I just want to say, the more that you become aware of your own elements, your own predominant elements within you, and your own emotional tendencies, like, do you respond when you're stressed out? Do you respond with fear? Do you get freaked out? Do you respond with anger? You know, like your initial response, or do you respond with kind of closing yourself off and not engaging in any kind of drama at all? These three tendencies, you know, once you get to know, okay, I seem to either respond with fear or anger, those seem to be my go-tos, then you can take a pause and see, you know, where your reactions, you know, where they lie, what elements are kind of at the forefront for you before you then engage with that person in your relationship. And that can actually make things a lot easier for you as the individual. It actually helps to take away some of your own suffering if you can take a moment. And it's not that you shouldn't feel emotions. Emotions are part of why we're here on this earth. It's part of our experience. It's part of our magic, is being here and interacting with one another. But you don't want to be pulled along willy-nilly by them, because you're going to invite a lot more suffering into your life if you're just constantly being pulled by your emotions, rather than kind of having a balance between your emotional state and your consciousness, your awareness. So let's see, another example, you could have two airy people together. They could actually really deplete one another, because both of them are so motivated and spirited, fast moving. They have a lot of ideas. They're always looking to do things or go out on adventures, that they could begin to deplete one another if they're not bringing awareness to their tendencies. At the same time, two airy people coming together, they'll like travel the world. I don't know. They'll like, you know, make new discoveries. So there's pros and cons to all these combinations for sure. So I guess what I would say is, with all the different combinations of relationship, with all the different elemental types coming into relationship, there's going to be some really enjoyable aspects that are quite natural. And there's going to be some tendencies that will be a challenge. And that's completely fine. But no matter what kind of relationship you're in, you just keep cultivating that awareness about your own tendencies, and that will make things a lot easier. Someone put, water and fire makes things steamy.
That's me. I got a lot of water and a lot of fire. I got Aries moon and Pisces sun and all that stuff.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, in Ayurvedic Jyotish, which is the Vedic version of astrology, they do equate the different planets with the different elemental types. And so that's always interesting to get that, your chart done for that reason as well, to get a deeper understanding of that. But you seem kind of water, earth and air to me, because your schedule is quite unique and you're on the radio and that's all about the quality of air, and you're a musician. That's also quite airy and creative.
That's the Libra rising.
Oh, right. So from an astrological point of view.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Astrological. From the ray's perspective, the third ray is the radio presenter and vocalist and talker and communicator and coordinator and all that stuff. The second ray is the soul healer kind of thing. And the first ray is the sort of, the connection with the stars and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's in the ray thing. But in terms of, I've got Aries moon, Pisces sun and, Libra rising. But I've got Saturn in Capricorn, which is like a big kind of, it's like a lead weight to the bottom of everything.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Well, Capricorn is about, yeah. And Capricorn is about work. Is that right? It's like hard work.
Responsibilities, really. It's,
oh, responsibility. Okay.
Conjunct with Jupiter, which is all about having fun. So my responsibilities, prevent me from having too much fun.
Bummer, Jay.
But I know, but,
who's there to clear that?
Well, I just make sure that I got plenty of responsibility. I have plenty of fun to go with it.
Yes, fair enough. Fair, like your trip to Ireland.
Oh, right? Yeah. That... Oh, yeah. that was a trip. That was a trip. Definitely.
That's great.
And all, lots of others. Yeah. So anyway,
That's great.
Where were we?
We went off on a tangent. Oh, I was talking about, I think you're kind of.
Oh yeah, we're air, fire and water. Yeah. So what I'd be doing is combining all those different things and trying to make it work.
Well, I would say, you know, you could actually handle a fiery person quite well. Especially one that has cultivated quite a bit of awareness. That might be a good match for you, someone that has quite a bit of fire.
Mm-hmm. Only awareness, though. Fire without awareness is just a mess.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, you know, if you encounter someone with a temper, do you tend to react with anger as well, or does it freak you out, or do you want to hide away? You know,
just avoid them, really.
What's that?
Just avoid them, really.
Yeah. That's your earthiness. Yeah. You're like, see you later.
Nobody got time for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, whereas me, if someone encountered me, like, if I was in a relationship and they encountered me in a challenging way or with anger, I would actually roll up my sleeves and dig in my heels and get ready for a battle. Like, it would flame my fire. You know, I would probably, if I wasn't paying attention to it. So you see how you can begin to, see, okay, how would I respond in a certain situation? You know, like I know I would meet that anger with a bit of an argument for sure.
A bit, little bit, teeny little argument. Easy argument it.
Yeah. But you know, I do, because it's been a while and I've learned a lot through Ayurvedic medicine about my own tendencies. You can certainly work with your more challenging tendencies, and you just have to take a minute. You just take a pause, like, oh, I'm really angry right now, or I'm stressed out, so I want to make sure everything in my life is under control, which means trying to also control the actions of my relationships, which is never a good thing. But that is a tendency. That's a tendency to try to relieve your own stress. And it doesn't work, but it certainly happens within relationships. So rather than cultivating that sense of control, really what a fiery person can do is to begin to do their best to begin to let go of whatever they can. You know, so if you're in a relationship, you cannot try to control another person's actions or emotions. It's not your place and it's not your job. And I know I'm speaking sort of obviously, but whenever we're in relationship, especially after a time, we get into these roles with one another that can begin to become subconscious. We start creating these samskaras, these tendencies together. And then for water earth people, it's really, you know, if they want to kind of shy away from the world and not engage and, kind of close into their own little cave, their safe little cave, that's okay to a certain extent, but they also need to take a pause and see, okay, how is this benefiting me? Is this just making me feel safe, even though in reality it isn't any safer than anything else? You know, the kind of trade-off when a water earth person begins to close themselves off is that they then miss out. They miss out on the bigger picture of life. So it is worth taking those extra steps to really learn about who you are and your tendencies. And once you begin to learn what your tendencies are, your emotional reactions, your go-tos, then you can bring in that gentleness for yourself and realize, okay, this is my starting point, but it doesn't have to end here. This is just where I'm starting. And so there's many different ways to cultivate that awareness. And, I'm sure in other shows I've talked about it and other guests have talked about the idea of some form of meditation is good. Not everyone can do that easily. That to an airy person, that will sound quite difficult to actually sit still for a while. Physically that can be difficult for a person just to want to sit there in stillness. So going out for a walk in nature might be a better option for that person at first. Going back to your breath, that's a great way of cultivating your awareness and, beginning to observe your own tendencies. So, you know, like I said in the beginning, it starts with the self. And, when you have a good starting point of your own awareness, and goodness knows that's difficult in your teen years, you're really trying to figure yourself out. But, I'm now in my 40s, so I've had some good practice. once you begin to learn yourself, then you can really benefit from the art of being in relationship. And so what I've talked about before, this isn't just a relationship with a lover, or a partner or spouse. There's many different kinds of relationships. So like I talked about, there's a relationship with yourself. So that's the starting point. There's the relationship with whatever your understanding of the divine is. That's also a relationship. Your relationships with whoever you consider your family to be. That could be either an intended family through conscious choice or through genetics. So either one. Then there's a relationship of you within your culture. And what I talked about also earlier before, the relationship of you with things like the media. So I like to sometimes take a look, like take a step back, at my Facebook page. And I've talked about this before, you know, whoever has a Facebook page, it would be interesting for you to go and take a look and see what are the tendencies in my news feed. What are my friends posting? What's the elements that are coming out in my news feed? Is there a lot of fieriness to it? Is there a lot of airiness to it? Is there a lot of earth and water? And I can give you some examples. So like, we're not seeing a lot of earth water examples on Facebook these days, but one example would be like a cute little sweet little video of like two puppies cuddling. Be like a good water earthy example of something in the media. What we're seeing right now is a lot of fire. It used to be more air, more fear-based kind of stuff, and now it's a lot of anger kind of stuff coming up. So like fear, there's a lot of, you know, really traumatizing videos out there of other people being harmed that are being shown. And then fiery, there's a lot of aggressive headlines out there now. I'm sure you've all seen them. So when you view your feed, your Facebook feed or whatever, social media or whatever, when you're reading these headlines or seeing these videos, the elements that are contained within those messages are interacting with you as an individual. And so that's a type of relationship. And if you're just taking in that information without trying to cultivate awareness, you're going to be thrown around quite a bit emotionally. I would really spend some time trying to cultivate your own awareness in relationship to whatever you're getting through the media. And it really does affect people quite deeply. So that's a really important thing to look at. So, and then with family, and I'm going to talk about like a biologically based family. With family, you are going to see a lot of the same elemental tendencies in a family line. But one thing that can be confusing for people is that if they're in a family dynamic where the parental figure, I'm going to go back to fire because that's one that I'm familiar with just because it's very high within myself. But if you have a parental figure that has a lot of fieriness and that has been unchecked, they're not aware of that and they're just reacting from their place of fire all the time, even though their child also has a lot of fire, that child will not be aware of their own fieriness so much because their parental, the fire from their parent has been so strong that it kind of overshadows their own light. So when you're in a relationship that is a bit one-sided or unbalanced, it can actually over time throw you off your own perception. And another thing I like to throw out there about relationships when I'm talking about ones that are quite imbalanced. So say you're in a relationship right now, any of the listeners are in a relationship and they're wondering, is this actually a healthy relationship for me or a good relationship? If you are hearing the other person's or the other group or the family's voice in your own mind and it's not a positive thought, that is a good indication that you may be in an imbalanced relationship. So, for myself, when I was getting out of one of my longer term relationships and I realized, you know, I was starting to meditate more and I would hear my own thoughts, just in my day to day life, you know, I'd have my own thoughts and then I would hear from a past relationship, I would hear that person's, it took me a while to discern this, but I would hear that person's thoughts almost with their voice, not even my voice, in my own mind. And it took me a while to kind of separate from that and realize that I was actually starting to take on that other person's tendencies. Now, I'm not blaming the other person because we are ultimately all responsible for ourselves, but it's interesting how that can happen in time, especially if you're not cultivating your own sense of self.
I want to jump in, you know, because this is, I think, a really, 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 really totally, absolutely 150% important point to take on right now as we move into greater self-responsibility, mm-hmm. as we need to take care of ourselves and the planet in a much greater way. This is part of owning our ship, as they say, in relationships. To be, you know, again, it's all about self-awareness. And in order to be able to relate to anybody, you have to be able to relate to yourself.
Right. Absolutely. And also accept yourself, you know, like, I mean, I know because some of our emotions aren't pleasant, easy to be around. And so one thing that can happen once you start to become a little more aware of your own tendencies is you dislike them. You dislike some of your tendencies. I mean, that can happen. You start to become hard on yourself. And so, that's okay. That's part of the process sometimes, but to really then go back and be like, okay, this is a tendency of mine. That's all it is. It's just a tendency. And what can I do to cultivate more balance and care for myself? You know, so that all my other relationships will then be more easeful. And so for earth and water people, one thing to help shake up that stagnation, that tendency towards attachment at all costs, you know, like staying in a relationship no matter what, that's a tendency, or just staying in something because, you know, getting a new job or whatever it is, it just seems like too much work, too much effort. One thing that an earth and water person can do is to cultivate a daily practice of something that is the opposite of stagnation. And so something that is the opposite of stagnation would be some form of movement. Now, everyone should have some form of mild to moderate exercise in their life. Even if, you know, you'll get like responses from people saying, well, you know, I can hardly move my body. I'm racked with pain. I completely appreciate that. And of course I would work with that person to help them, come up with ways to create movement in their body, whether it be the more minute movements or just working with the breath. You can cultivate more movement than what you're already doing. So that's something that, that earth and water people, especially people who have that combination of earth and water, get yourself moving a little bit each day, and that will really help balance that tendency towards emotional stagnation and stuckness and attachment. For airy people, and this is so hard. Airy people resist this so much, but when I've worked with patients that have a lot of air and ether within them, and they finally give in because they're so sick and they don't know what to do anymore. They finally let go and give in to my suggestions. For airy people, it's to cultivate regular routine, which sounds boring as hell to an airy person, but it's amazing how much freer they become when they can cultivate regular routine. Because when they have that sense of regularity, they can then almost like catapult into even greater creativity if they have that backbone of a regular routine in their life.
It gives a kind of traction.
Exactly.
Because you know, if you're too airy, you're not actually touching the ground anywhere. But if you're doing something regularly, you're making a vibration on an etheric level. Which is, tractable. You can then push against that, as you say. And that's what I did with the radio. That's what I did with the jam sessions, and this is what I do with the radio. I just made sure I did it every week and I was always there.
Yes, that's your earth and water really helping to nourish your air quality.
Yep. And I also have a thing which is, I have lots of little aphorisms, but one of them is be kind to your future self.
Wonderful. I really like aphorisms, actually. That's a really great way to cultivate awareness and to help heal the mind. These positive sayings or mantras that you can use for yourself. So that's great. I like that. Be kind to your past self, too, I guess you could say. You know.
Indeed. Because a lot of people, you know, here's an example. You know, I know you said it in a very light way, but... an example of being unkind to your past self is saying, oh, I was so fat and stupid then. Much more clean and clear and slim now. Look how much better I am now. What have you just done? You've just cursed yourself.
I know. Yes, exactly true. And what happens if you reach a point where, you know, you can't do the things, you know, say you become injured or something and you become quote unquote fat and stupid again. It's yeah. like that's really going to set you back mentally. Yeah,
absolutely.
So exercise. Oh, go ahead. What's that?
Exercise. Well, I was going to say the five. Yeah, taking a lover might be good exercise as well. I was just thinking, you know, like, you know, if you don't really want to do too much, but.
That's awesome.
No kidding. You know, it's
absolutely.
Good. It gets the cardio going, I have to say.
It does. Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's great. And you know, if you're meeting someone who's on the same page as you and it's just enjoyment and cultivating that enjoyment and love, that's great. Absolutely. It's great exercise. So long as it's an appropriate person, like someone who cares for you.
And somebody who wants it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Of course. Yeah. someone who's thinking about getting a trampoline, that sounds great. That sounds like a great idea. I actually, with my patients that are having difficulty getting moving, I do recommend, either a trampoline or I guess they call them rebounders in the U.S. Might be different in different countries. But yeah, it's like a little teeny tiny, mini trampoline, or you can get like, one of those big, we call them yoga balls here. They're like really large and you can sit on them.
It's a space hopper, isn't it? Really?
Excuse me? It's a what?
It's a space hopper, really, isn't it?
Yes.
Thank you. Exactly. Don't give me this yoga stuff. It's a space hopper, people. All right. Okay. Yeah, do you remember hoppers?
Is that the original word for those?
Well, those were those, kind of orange rubber things that they had with the two ears or horns that you would hold yeah. onto and you would bounce around the world with them.
I love those things. They were so dangerous because you'd catapult off the sidewalk or whatever. Yeah. Actually my daughter has a version of that, except it's in the shape of a horse. And, it's always, of course I let her play on it, but it's always like I sort of have to be around in case she flies backward off of it, which she often does. But anyway, yeah, it's kind of like those, except they don't have the horn things sticking out of them. It's just a ball. And you can sit on it, and if your balance isn't strong, you can, you know, hold on to a countertop or a desk and just begin bouncing. And that's a great way to start exercise, particularly if your joints are sore. You know, if you have any difficulty with you know, sore knees or hips or anything like that, it's easier. And then, okay, so for fiery people, because we talked about some really helpful tips for airy people and water earth people. So for fiery people, one thing is obvious, they need some support cooling off, cooling down. And so rose hydrosol is really great to have that in a spritzer bottle and to kind of like spritz your face and help yourself cool down. But also cultivating joy and doing fun things is really great for fiery people. Because fiery people, they always want to get tasks done. They always want to succeed and complete tasks. But they often need to just have a little more fun and joy. And that really helps to cool that fire.
Okay, so Shailene, shall we... take the break at the top of the hour, since it's now the top of the hour. I've got Annie Lennox with The Miracle of Love, because this is what it's all about, isn't it? Ah, yes. Welcome back to Ever Beyond, and Shailene's little girl just wants to make a little appearance. Say hello to Mummy. Say hello to Uncle Jay.
I know. Yes, are you okay? I'm crying.
Give her a little cuddle then.
Yeah. You can bring her down. I'm not sure. She's okay. She's just...
Do you want me to put another tune on?
No. It's okay. Yeah. Come here, honey. Come
here. Oh, little one.
All those parents out there, you know, this is part of it. It's, yeah. You have a plan and then the little one has a different idea. Mm-hmm. So that's been actually very good for my pitta, my fire. Because I am very much into having a plan. And then when you have a little one, they have their own ideas.
Yeah. Other plans.
And so you have to really, learn to let go. And that's been such a great gift and lesson for me and has really helped my fiery tendencies. So, you know, cause it's just this little being that just wants a little, like you said, a little cuddle or, And even though my goal is to be on this awesome radio show. So anyway, it's all good.
That's all right. Our awesome radio show also accommodates people who need cuddles at spontaneous times, because, you know, we all need cuddles at certain spontaneous times, and we don't have to be like 18 months old or 3 years old or however old or young the, you know, little one is. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Doesn't she like my voice?
No, I'm not sure. Okay.
Hello.
She's happy now. She just wanted to move over a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, so my daughter, she's very fiery because I'm very fiery. And so, like I said, biologically, it comes down through the family line, you know, your elemental tendencies. And, so, you know, when you do become a parent, if you ever decide to become a parent, anyone who's listening, or care for any other being, you have to really be aware of your own tendencies, because they're going to get reflected back at you when you have a little one, you know, because they're so pure. They're just like pure emotion. So that's been great. Oh, okay. She's going with Papa now. So, someone had asked a question earlier, JP, and I'm happy to, I actually copy and pasted it because I didn't want it to get lost.
Oh, well done, because it's been moving. The chat room's been moving extremely fast tonight, and it's lovely because there's lots of people here.
Yeah, that's so great.
And thank you to all the people who have kind of stayed on all evening. There's this enormous, highly populated map. I'll send you a little screenshot if I can. Shailene, and you'll just see, the kind of, listenership that we've had today. Not all of them are still here, but, you can at least see that it's quite crowded in there. That's lovely. That's a listener everywhere. You know, it's like almost a listener on every continent.
Yeah.
That's over in, Japan. No,
it's Indonesia. Breaking up.
Yeah, that's the, as the picture, there it is. As the picture comes across. Okay. Yeah, there we go.
So, yeah, it says, do I just click on it?
Just click on it and you'll see it.
Oh, neat. Yeah, that's cool.
So.
Wow, hi everybody. That's so wonderful.
Isn't it beautiful?
Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah. Shailene has been doing this for, the last, it's about 18 months now, I think.
Coming
on every quarter.
The change of every season.
Yes.
It's been like, yeah, I've been coming on. And, you know, I'm always happy to do my best to answer questions in the chat. In my own private practice, I have an office in the town where I live, and I see patients at my office. And then I also do some teaching. And then I also can do consultations online as well, just for the dear souls that would like some support and are not living close to me. I do online consultations as well. So, but I wanted to answer that person's question, and the person asked if there was anything the Veda says about individuals who just seek salvation from life all day, every day. And so, you know, just kind of reading over that question, that makes me wonder, you know, if that person is in quite a bit of suffering right now, because from my understanding of the question, it seems like you're seeking some kind of salvation from life, but life itself is meant to actually be experienced, as opposed to, we're not supposed to be necessarily saved from it. But in Ayurveda, a way to interact with our daily life is there's a practice called cultivating sattva or sattva. And so that person, if they want to research that sattva, it's a series of actions and practices that help to cultivate awareness. So some of the things that we've been talking about tonight. So one way that you can cultivate more balance and calmness and less suffering in life is to, by cultivating sattva or sattva, is to actually spend more time, if possible, in the natural world. Now, it's hard when you're in a state of suffering. Some people don't want to engage with anything or anyone. And it really depends if this person who's asking the question, if they're depressed, it'll be hard for them to leave the home. Or if they're in a state of anxiety, it could be hard for them to even leave the house. But spending a little bit of time in nature, it could just actually be starting by going out and sitting somewhere. Even somewhere that's sort of natural, like some kind of a park, as opposed to, you know, the wild, the wild out there, would be enough of a start. And what I had talked about before, having regular mindful practices throughout your day and ways of caring for yourself. So getting up at the same time every morning, and, there's certain, lifestyle practices, and they're called daily practices that you can begin to learn in Ayurveda. And I teach a lot of this to my patients. Okay, so this morning I want you to start doing this particular thing, and they go and they try it and they give me their feedback. They let me know if they've had any challenges, and then I go on to the next step with them, depending on where they're at. So it's a process, and, yeah, so I don't know if that person is like in a state of suffering right now, or if they're just wishing, you know, I'm trying to get a better sense from the question.
I'm not sure if it was an abstract question or it was like, my friend's got this problem, you know.
Right. And I would say, you know, if it's abstract, then you can simply do research and start reading some of the texts yourself. But you know, if there's like a personal, suffering that you're going through and you want to somehow articulate that, that might make my answer clearer for you. I can be more specific. Or if you don't wish to do that, that's understandable too. So either way. But yeah, cultivating, more balancing practices that balance all types of elements, all types of emotional states. There's just a whole list of them in Ayurvedic medicine. There's some other allies that we have in Ayurvedic medicine as well that help soften our tendencies or make dealing with our tendencies a little easier. And so if there's anyone out there that is interested in herbal medicine, it's used quite a bit in Ayurveda because our herbs are our natural allies, and they, you know, they grow to help us. They help us heal, and they've been around for forever. And so we use, in Ayurveda, we use food, you know, we use dietary practices and how we eat our food, as part of healing. It can be very simple, these practices. And so we also use some herbs. I think we've talked about the use of herbs in past, broadcasts. But one of my favorite, and I think I already brought it up, but one of my favorite herbs to begin to think about and surround yourself with as much as possible, is rose, wild rose. And you can get that in different forms. So like I said, just having a spray bottle of rose hydrosol, in your home, that actually, it helps fiery people, but it actually helps everyone. It helps all types. So it helps to cool the fire. It helps to nourish and nurture the air and ether types. It helps to enliven the earth water types. So rose is just like the go-to herb when I think of a person's mindful state. And it's just such a wonderful ally for people. Now, is that too esoteric, JP, going into herbs for people?
Oh, no, I think, well, I mean, we've got quite a few healers and therapists who listen to the show, or at least I hope so. You know, this that's really my kind of target audience is people who do the stuff. And, you know, so that we can fill in the background and so that they can, come in with greater service.
Yeah, sure.
So yeah.
Okay. Well, so there's, if there are any herbalists there in the group, then you may be familiar with some herbs, either local to whatever type of herbalism you practice, whether local herbalism, so that would depend on which country you live in, which I think is a really great form of herbalism, is to begin to become familiar with the herbs that grow right around you. Now, my background is Ayurvedic medicine, so a lot of my understanding are herbs that grow a lot in India, which is really far from me. But really, I'm so happy to see there's a local farmer, and she is starting to grow some of the Indian Ayurvedic herbs that originate from India here, locally where I live, so that you get the ancient wisdom and use of those herbs, but cultivated in this soil and this light and this air and this water. And so I'm excited because I'm going to be able to use those herbs grown from someone right near me. And I love that idea. But in Ayurveda, there's a group of herbs that really help to nourish and calm and also enliven our minds and our nervous system. And those are, they're called nervines. And so I'll just give two examples. One is called Brahmi. And Brahmi is good if you're feeling anxious, but it's also good if you're feeling a little bit mentally lethargic. It's also good for people that are overly focused in their mind. It kind of helps balance all of those states. So that's Brahmi. And so that's a great herb to research. You can take that in a medicated ghee, butter oil, or you can take it as a tea if you can stand the taste. I can stand the taste. Some people find it to be a little bit too bitter. The second herb is an herb called Jatamansi, and that is also, I think it's also called spikenard. So,
Spikenard, yeah, is, that's the Ramtha
valerian.
People. It's very, it's quite an intense, very kind of woody sort of.
Oh, earth. Yeah, yeah. I think earth. I adore Jatamansi. I adore it.
It's quite a nip in the head, you know, it's really wham. It hits you right between the eyes. Yeah.
Well, I find Jatamansi to be very grounding, actually. To really calm a lot, if someone has a lot of airiness within them, a lot of anxiety, it really helps to ground. It really helps to ground a person and make them feel that sense of wellness again, like everything is going to be okay. So, Jatamansi, I actually like that as an essential oil. You want me to spell some of the herbs? Okay. So Jatamansi is Jatamansi. And that's great even as an essential oil if you can find a reputable source. We have one great source here in the U.S. And then the other herb that I was talking about earlier, Brahmi, which is the Latin name. Part of the Latin name is also Bacopa, but Brahmi is Brahmi. Those are two great herbs to research. Just to quickly get back to the person who asked that question that I answered earlier. Yeah, it sounds like you need some support and some love and to be reminded of how much that you're a loving being. You have so much worthiness inside of you, and I'm sorry that you're not feeling that right now. Yeah, I wish I could help you out more, but you can be in touch if you need to. I think JP will put my contact info out there at the end.
Yeah, and you're on Facebook, and you're not like difficult to get hold of.
Yeah, my website has my contact info and that kind of thing. So it is. It's hard when we have imbalances in our mind. They can feel insurmountable to the individual. And if they feel insurmountable, then that's a good place to get some support from someone else that's not connected to your personal life, you know, like a professional, someone that can really help support you. So just putting that out there. Okay, so yeah, so those are some great herbs, jatamansi, brahmi, and rose. And those all really help to either cool or calm or slightly enliven the nervous system. And I guess one more herb, holy basil, which is also called tulsi, which is T-U-L-S-I. Now that's a really yummy tea. That makes a delicious tea. You can take one tablespoon of the tulsi leaves or just a small handful. I actually like using hands better than measuring devices when I make my own medicine, but very small handful of tulsi leaves. And you put that in 3 cups of just boiled water and you let that steep for about 15 minutes and you can drink that every day. And tulsi is, it can be slightly calming, but it's a little bit more enlivening. That's a great tea for, an earthy, watery type to have. All types can enjoy that tea, but particularly the watery, earthy types. So those are a few herbs to start thinking about. Let's see. I don't know if you want some more tips. I can give you some more tips to cultivate, more healthy relationships. We can also talk about little bit about, so I can give some more tips.
Sorry, and talk about what?
Oh, and then also talk about just a few ideas coming from the Ayurvedic perspective on healthy sexual practices as well. There's just a few suggestions there as well. And this is going to depend a lot on your own individual constitution. It changes depending on what type of constitution you have. So those two things we can talk about. I think that's kind of what I have for today. So some more tips to help cultivate healthier relationships is create the self-awareness first. Realize that the other person is often a mirror for, and I'm sure you've heard this in other platforms, but the other person in the relationship, whether it be a lover, a family member, a larger group of people or culture, they're mirroring an aspect of yourself, particularly if you are responding with a strong emotion. So if you can kind of keep that idea in the forefront, that will help you to navigate through a lot of stresses. I know, JP, you had brought up earlier a tendency that you've observed about, from your perspective, you said a lot of women, fall into the being attracted or in love with the mean guy. Is that right? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah. Well, there's two things. Number one, I mean, the whole dating thing is screwed up. You know, if you're single and you want to find a relationship, it's a whole mess because it's all about lying and, you know, dressing up and looking good and all that. Whereas really you want to get to know, you know, real people want to get to know the real person. So that's the heart. Number one, you know, how do you find yourself, a partner that has got the right, you know, qualities, these, mm-hmm. you know, Aries and all that stuff. Why is it, there are two perennial questions that I've always had problems with, and, you know, most of the people that you know, and there'll be men who you'll have a female friend, maybe not, you know, a lover, but you have a female friend, and she's a great gal, and she's always in with an asshole.
Yeah.
And why is it, here's another thing, you always get, like sometimes, well, not always sometimes, but you always sometimes, you sometimes get a couple and the guy, he's a complete asshole and she's super nice. She's a total angel. Mm-hmm. And one wonders, you know, is this her punishment or is this his reward? I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah.
So do you want to talk about those? And then there's the final one, which I'll bring up later, but, let's talk about, because I think these things are related.
Well, I think that this tendency, and it may just be, I don't know if it's a worldwide phenomena or if it's just in both of our cultures, you know, UK and US, but, you know, and I had gone through this myself when I was younger. You date the guy that's a real jerk to you. And part of it is going back to svastha, so not being fully established in yourself. so that you begin to give your power away to someone else who is not good for you, is not a good match, and or is not in a good state themselves at that point. So I see that happening a lot, that, you know, women are in our culture, and I think it is changing. Definitely it's ingrained. We're taught to be nice. You know, we're taught that that has value, that being nice and not creating waves is important, even though it's not really a healthy way to be. It's not genuine. So I think that that happens, although, you know, and I've definitely seen nice guys date really nasty women too. So it definitely goes the other way. I think sometimes we have those kind of relationships where we're in a learning phase. You know, when I was in a particularly unhealthy relationship, it's not as much as the other person's fault. I mean, I was 50% in that relationship as well. So it was just a learning experience for me. You know, I was inexperienced and didn't know myself that well. So unfortunately, the other person's negative dynamics were able to come in pretty strongly for a time. You know, it didn't last forever. But I think that there's a learning curve there. I think that there's a cultural influence there that needs to be healed. Whereas it's not so much to do with male-female as much as it's to do with what are our elemental constitutions, and getting to know ourselves from that viewpoint, and a little bit less from the male-female. Because actually in Ayurveda, there's an understanding that we all carry masculine and feminine aspects within us. And it actually is, apart from our, sexuality. So yeah, that's kind of what I have to say about that piece. But yeah, so, you know, I know JP, you definitely have seen women dating these terrible guys, but I've seen it the other way as well.
You know, Oh yeah.
Nice guys finish last. Yeah, it's a weird push-pull dynamic, I think, that happens, right? And actually this old roommate of mine, when I was in my 20s, he said, there's a saying he's from New Zealand. So if there's anyone from New Zealand that has heard this saying, you can tell me, oh yeah, that's a saying here, or maybe it's not, I don't know. He says, treat him mean, keep him keen. And I just said, you're such a jerk when he said that. But there's something about, yeah, when you don't treat someone well, if they're not established in themselves, they feel like they're not worthy of being treated well, and they almost are, but wait, that person's going to change, and eventually they really do love me, and they're going to see how great I am, or I'm not great anyway, so it's fine that they're treating me poorly. You know, it's these weird, unhealthy.
Yeah, very unhealthy in involutionary thoughts that take you down the spiral.
No. And most of us been there. It's not like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It's not, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And this is the thing, you know.
We're all learning. Like, we're all figuring it out.
It's what an old girlfriend of mine used to call young woman's disease. With my love, I can make this man better.
Yes. Let's fix him. And I would say, okay, so now here's our relationship to our culture, right? Which I brought up before. I don't know if you guys have a lot of those Disney movies, all those like fairy tale.
Oh God. Have I got a thing about Disney? I believe that Disney has ruined relationships for
millions
of young women. Because it creates expectations, and expectations come to disappointment.
It's unhealthy. It's really harmful for women and also for men. It's like, so men are supposed to save women. Women are supposed to be saved, as opposed to two powerful people meeting each other with their hearts and their minds. So yeah. And you know, I have a daughter. So this is, of course, in the forefront of my mind as well. And these things, you know, you're like, oh, the girl, she's just watching this cartoon. It's just a cartoon, but wow, what an impact it has.
Cartoons are real. Cartoons are archetypal worlds.
Exactly.
These are the stories, you know, and they create the format which we assume relationships are going to take. How else do you know about relationship? Look at mum and dad. Well, they're not paying me much attention. These people. So, are there, therefore, attention? See, here's the thing. In the West, we suffer from attention deficit. Like, we don't get enough attention. That's the thing. In, you know, we don't get enough good attention. Is there, in the Eastern traditions, are there actually these, you know, is it built into the society that you give babies attention?
Oh my gosh, yes. Absolutely. I mean, I actually do a lot of work around postpartum care for the newborn, but also for the birth mother.
I thought you were going to say the mutant mums, but.
Yeah. Stumbling over my words.
Yes.
Moms. It sounds like a comic book.
Yeah.
I teach this class to other practitioners on the, some of the protocols from Ayurvedic medicine on how to care for the birth mother so that she can be there with her baby. And the practice is that and I did this myself. I'm like, well, I have to practice what I preach. So when I gave birth to my daughter, and we were pretty financially humbled by this decision, but it was so important to us. And thankfully my husband also supported us with this decision. I basically stayed for the most part indoors because it was still cool out, and you're supposed to stay indoors with your infant, with your newborn for a period of 40 days. And
40 days.
Yeah. 40 days.
Wow.
What's that?
Yeah, no, I was just thinking, well, I could probably stay indoors for 40 days, but a lady with so much,
for several gentle walks.
Some air, sort of airy, airy or fiery lady such as yourself would stir crazy within, how long does it take, Jillian?
Yeah, no, you need the 40 days. And listen, I'm an athlete. And so I'm used to pushing my body, like working, you know, competing, all that kind of stuff. But I believe in Ayurvedic medicine so much that I thought, no, I'm going to do this practice. So for 40 days, I did not get in a car. I stayed home. I was living very rurally at the time. Not that you have to. You can live wherever you are living. And I did not, aside from a few gentle walks where my newborn was wrapped up very well and on my body, we stayed inside. And it's about healing. It's about the bond. It's about nurturing the bond between that new being that has come into the world who was once connected to your heartbeat. There's a word for that in Ayurveda, which is called the bicardiac state. And after you birth that newborn, they're in between worlds. And so you really need to create a gentle transition for that newborn so that that strong bond between the mother and the child is created. And the newborn comes into the world with that sense of complete nurturance. And, I'm not criticizing parents out there. I'm not. I'm just saying there is another way, and 40 days is the amount of time it takes for the woman's physical tissues to heal, all the fluids in her body, the muscle tissue, the nervous tissue. It takes 40 days for that transformation after giving birth. So there's a lot that goes on during that 40 days. There's a lot of body work practices and specific foods that the mother is given to eat, specific kinds of warm massages with herbalized oils, and you also do gentle herbal massages for the newborn as well. So it's a very sacred time, and I'm sure it's the same in the UK. It's been lost in our culture. So I'm teaching other practitioners some of these protocols so that they can either teach other people or work on the moms themselves. And that's one of the things I love to do. I love to witness, I'll go to a mother's home And so I do house calls for this. I'll go to a mother's home after she's given birth and do the specific type of body work for the mom. And it's the most tenderest thing because you just have that little newborn that, you know, they just want to lie next to the mom on the table as you're working on the mom. And they're both just in that kind of unified bliss. So anyway, so it starts with birth, you know, cultivating that establishment in the self, that svastha. So, and if we didn't have that, most of us haven't, then we have to work through our own healing journey and support each other through it. So, wow, that was a tangent, but it's about relationship.
Yeah, it's about relationship, but it's about the thing that causes the problems in relationship is the lack of self-connection, which causes mm-hmm. you to use the connection of the other person who then uses exactly. yours, and then you spiral right. downwards, another downward spiral.
Right. And if you've begun that spiral, I mean, you as an individual can transform that. And so if you haven't had this nurturance, which most of us haven't, the 40 days when we were born, by cultivating your self-care practices now at whatever age you are, it makes a huge difference. Huge. And some of them sound kind of silly. Like one would be, drinking a first thing after you brush your teeth in the morning, you get a half a cup of warm water. And for most people, putting half or a quarter of a fresh lemon juice in there, and you drink that first thing in the morning. And, that helps to get your digestion started very gently. It helps to gently cleanse your digestive system right first thing in the morning. And you think, well, what does that have to do with relationship? But it's the first step in actually taking care of yourself. And one of the main principles behind why Ayurvedic medicine exists, it's to care for the self and to cultivate health and longevity in the self so that you can fulfill your own personal path. Whatever that may be, that's going to be different for every person. And so, you know, over the years, I've slowly added more and more self-care practices. It's hard to learn and do everything at once. It's not very realistic. We all have our habits that we've learned over the years, like ways to cope when we suffer. So slowly over time, I have my patients transition from their habits that are not helpful for them to more healthy habits. And it's definitely a journey. And it's different for every person. So, and I guess one other self-care practice that I could tell people to consider trying for themselves is also to, do a nice, gentle, self full body massage every day for yourself. And there's different types of oil depending on your, constitution. Depending on what elements are predominant in you. But if sesame oil, organic, unrefined, raw sesame oil, not the toasted sesame oil, the raw, organic, unrefined sesame oil, that's a good start for most people. Unless you have a sesame allergy, then there's other oils you can use. But so every morning before you bathe, before you shower, you actually use oil. You can warm it up in your hands and head to toe. You cover your whole body in oil and you rub your limbs and your belly, and you just make sure that you're covering yourself in some oil. And that's actually a way to cultivate self-care. It also helps you to connect with your physical body. And to begin to have a little bit more acceptance. A lot of people don't like their bodies or parts of their bodies. But if you're caring for your body every day, you begin to accept it more. And that can be really helpful. Or you can learn, okay, this part of my body, my hips actually, they hurt a lot. And so I need to give them a little more attention or that kind of thing. It's a really, really great practice. And it sounds a little odd, like a lot of people aren't familiar with this in our cultures, but it's been around forever. And, you know, after I teach people how to do that, then if they travel somewhere and they forget their oil, they're like, oh, I can't do my self massage. Oh, you know, it definitely is something that becomes missed after a time. So, that's another great practice that you can do.
So just hey, to, Do you have products on your website? Do you do webinars, or is it just a purely local thing that you're doing?
No, well, I do consultations, and that can happen wherever the other person is that's online. So private consultations, if a person has some health concerns that they wish to address Ayurvedically, or, if they just simply want to learn more about Ayurveda, then I can do consultations and have done them. I also teach online. I teach Ayurvedic classes online. Right now I'm focusing more on the postpartum care, teaching that. And, and then I see people personally. I will be working on a book after February, JP. Right now I'm doing a lot of clinical work, clinical, supervised work.
I was just going to say, where are you going to find all that time?
I know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, that's happening. The outline is done, but,
get the shows that you've done with me transcribed and copy and paste them into that book.
Oh gosh, that's such a great idea. This is the second time you brought it up, so I guess maybe I should do that. That's a really great idea.
Just trying to save time, my dear. Just trying to save time.
No, right? I love it. I love it. Yeah, since I don't have much of it. Once I'm done with this next section of clinical supervised work, then patient work, then I will be, I try to make up my own formulas for my patients. There are some traditional formulas that are excellent as well in Ayurvedic medicine, but I also make up my own. I used to sell Ayurvedic equipment. There's a lot of different body therapies in Ayurvedic medicine where the practitioner actually forms an intimate healing relationship with their patients where they do diagnostic tests, like read the pulse, look at the person's face diagnostically, palpates their abdomen, looks at their tongue, for example. But also a lot of Ayurvedic practitioners also work on their patients, meaning they do different types of body work. So it's a very intimate and healing relationship that is formed. It's a little bit different than with allopathic medicine, where this relationship tends to be quite long term. So, like a lot of my patients, I will see weekly for many months if they're working on a health issue, and then that will spread out over, to then become about 4 times a year. But initially, especially if they have health concerns going on, I meet with them quite often. That's kind of what I have going on now. And then, the radio shows with you, which have been so enjoyable. And, more and more teaching will be coming out. I need to hear from people what they're interested in learning too. That's always helpful. Feedback is great. So I welcome feedback from any of your listeners as well. That helps to give me ideas. 'Cause it's in my chart. I'm supposed to go out there and teach and talk about this work. So, when I had my Vedic chart done, by a friend of mine who's a Jyotish, when he told me the connection to teaching and media, I thought, oh, okay, now I have to start doing that. So, someone put in the chat coconut oil. And yes, coconut oil is a really, really, really great choice for fiery people. Coconut oil in its energetic properties, it's very cooling. It's a very cooling oil. So for someone that has a lot of coolness naturally within them, so some of the airy types and even some of the earth and watery types, coconut oil may not be the best choice. So just so you know that, if you're thinking about it Ayurvedically, coconut oil is great for the fiery types. And so like another indication that you might be a fiery type is if you do go for a brisk walk or exercise and your face gets really red, that's a good indication that you may have a little bit of fire within you. Some people, when they go for a walk or they exercise, they don't get that ruddiness to their face. So there is a difference there, which is interesting. So doing the self-massage, that's really great. That's really a nice way to cultivate that care for yourself. And then if you're in relationship, then that's something that if you're in a good and healthy and happy place with another person, that's a really caring thing to do for another person, so long as you're not the person that's always doing the caretaking, you know, so keep that in mind.
Oh yes, need to be a bit reciprocal. I have to say that, the tiniest amount of coconut oil, even on my beard, my crispy old beard, and my hair, just putting a tiny amount on and then letting it wash off in the hot water, it makes it so slinky. I just keep wanting to touch my own hair. Oh, my beard feels so good. You know, I'm just sitting here stroking my beard away because it's a fantastic, and it conditions your skin. You can use it. Why don't we just bathe in, you know, just dip me in a vat of warm coconut oil. That'll do.
You should try sesame oil, JP.
Sesame oil. I think I might. I don't know if I've got any sesame oil from, I used to work for an essential oil company
a few
years back. And so I have a whole set. And then, the lovely Frances from Derbyshire, or rather Frances Derbyshire, has sent, it's beautifully presented. This is a lavender, a high altitude lavender, and it's in a little, tin, a little, like a cigar container, and then the bottle's inside that. Oh my God. If this microphone was that good, you could smell it, you know, but this is very fresh, high altitude. Oh, it's gorgeous.
Yeah. Adding essential oils to the sesame oil is a really great thing. So if you have 4 ounces of sesame oil as your base, you can use 10 to 20 drops of essential oil, depending on which one you have. So I'm assuming that you know about essential oils, like the proper use.
Myself?
Yeah.
I know a little bit about essential oils because, as I said, I worked for this company for like 18 years doing their database. And so there's a lot of information passes through past my eyes, you know, in a subconscious way.
Sure.
So it all gets there. But anyway, so I know the names of a lot of these things. Yeah, there you go.
Right. Whoops. Yeah. I mean, I have some of my patients add Jatamansi oil, essential oil, to their, sesame oil and put that on their feet. And that actually helps them to have a better sleep at night. Yeah.
Right.
So someone's asking, can a water sign person be a fiery person as perceived in Ayurveda? Yes, they can. Yeah, there's slight differences with the astrology and with the constitution of a person. So yes, you can have a water sign. Because when you're a water sign, is that your ascendant? Is that your sun sign? Is that your moon sign? You know, there's so many different aspects to a person astrologically. I think a lot of people seem to have an understanding of what their sun sign is, but your ascendant is really a huge indicator, as well. So you have to keep that and the moon sign. So you have to keep all those things, in mind. My ascendant is Aries and that's super fiery.
you got Aries rising and, what's your sun sign? You're Cancer, aren't you? Something?
Oh, close. Yeah. Gemini, Cancer, cusp.
Gemini, Cancer. Yeah. So, and so that's airy as well.
That's quite airy, but I'm predominantly fiery and a little bit of air. And then my moon is Libra.
All right. So you got Libra moon, Aries rising, and Gemini sun. So I've got Pisces sun, Libra rising, and Aries moon.
Oh, cool.
So there you go. It's interesting, these little things, you know, cause like, there are people who are kind of quite harmonious, like we're quite harmonious on the radio. Myself and Sean David Morton, he is, Libra with Pisces rising and I'm Pisces with Libra rising. And we have this, very interesting rapport that works very well.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The dynamics.
Yeah.
Think about it. Yeah. It can be as astrological and then you can also, look at it constitutionally. But yeah, and I just want to say with the sesame oil, a lot of people think, ew, sesame oil, that smells so strong. When you have raw, organic, unrefined It's not going to smell like food. It's the toasted sesame oil that people use a lot for cooking that has that stronger smell. Not to say that there isn't a scent with the sesame oil, but it's certainly not as strong. And for people that have a lot of water to their constitution, they're not going to require as much oil for their skin. It's not going to even necessarily feel as beneficial to them. So, you know, there's generalizations and then there's specifics. So it's always interesting talking about Ayurveda because Ayurvedic medicine really does pertain to an individual as a unique being, but then there's these generalizations as well. So it's kind of like I have to go back and forth between the two. So anyway, that's it about the oil. So for fire people, I would say if you're in a relationship with a fiery person, just to give a few more tips, I would say if you're in a relationship with a fiery person, one way to help nurture your relationship with that person is to help cultivate more joy and fun, because fiery people always want to work. So if you have a good relationship with someone you care about, just one way that you can nurture them is to, and nurture your relationship with them, is to help foster fun with them. And to try to get them out of work. So if two fiery people are married, there's a good chance that they might be in business together or they're just always working. So you have to try to foster a little bit more fun, and that is not connected to work. So I have a fiery patient who is self-employed, who owns a business with his wife. For fun, they have outdoor parties at their house with people that work in their company. I'm like, no, you need to do something away from work. So even their fun is infiltrated with work. So for all you fiery people out there, you know, step away from work for a bit. If you are in a relationship with a watery, earthy type, then you want to help them to foster some kind of experience of spontaneity. And so you can start off gently with them. If they want to have a certain food, like they get really stuck. They like to have the same meal like every day or every day of the week, you know, like change it up. Like just think about once a week, think about one spontaneous thing that you can do just to help enliven them a little bit. So that can be bringing in a new food that you guys have never had before, or taking them to a new place. It doesn't have to be anything that costs any money. You can just take them out to a new place to go for a little walk, something. Now they're going to have to also trust you. So, you know, as long as you have a good relationship with them, try to cultivate spontaneity. If you are in a relationship with an airy person, just really try to nurture them by creating some kind of continuity in your relationship. Like your schedules could be all over the place, but every morning before you leave for work, you both sit and have half a cup of tea together. Or the end of the evening, you know, you both every night, you know, you try to make it very regular. Every night before you go to bed, you give each other a foot rub, something like that. So try to think about some kind of regular practice with your airy partner. So I think those are some pretty good tips. Does anyone else have any specific questions? Feel free to put it in the chat. If you're stuck in some place with the relationship or something like that, I'm happy to.
Yeah, well, there was this other point about we were talking about relationships earlier, and mm-hmm. about how, you know, the women that choose the wrong relationships, and the one thing that I brought up was, is another like theme of the moment, is the never can say goodbye syndrome, in that you'll have men and women, presumably, who, yeah. Oh, I love all my ex-partners. I love them to bits, you know, and what I'm hearing is, instead of that, I'm hearing, I'm scared of letting go of these people because I don't know what I'll be without them.
Right. Yeah. Well, because they haven't cultivated enough svasta, which we've talked about before. You know, they don't know themselves enough so that they're projecting all of their positive traits or all their strengths on that other person. So that's an illusion. That's, you know, in our ajna chakra, our third eye, that's an illusion that's cultivated there. And so our perception is imbalanced. Actually, a really good treatment for that is a therapy called Shirodhara.
Does men slap around the face? Sorry.
It involves.
It's a healing show, but you know, sometimes these things just build up a bit. Sorry, go on.
Totally. It's oleation of the forehead. So oils are used a lot in Ayurveda because the quality of oiliness and love are the same. There's the same word for love and oil is
really, sneha. It's like sneha and, it's like, anointment as well.
It is like anointment.
Anointment is to be oiled, you know, oint, right. Oint is oil, you know.
Right. It's an act of love.
Yes.
It's an act of,
mm-hmm. Isn't that lovely? So,
it is. So Shirodhara, it's Shirodhara. Swasta, it's S. Let me see if I have the spelling here. Swasta. Swastha. Sometimes it's spelled Svastha. It's not related to swastika as far as I know. So someone would just ask that in the chat. So Shirodhara, I actually have a video on YouTube, cause I used to sell that piece of equipment. I used to make out of copper. I used to make that piece of equipment and sell it. But I don't have enough time for that right now, but I, that's one of the treatments that I offer is Shirodhara. And that would be a great treatment for people that are projecting their own strengths onto their love that got away or the person, the old relationship that they wish they had. So you have to bring it back and nourish the self.
Bring it back and reconnect that little fragment. Oh, mm-hmm. Shalene, it's been quite a show. Love. That's what it's all about. Bring plenty of love because we've got to bring lots of love to this world. It's you know, what the world needs now, you know, more than ever. Thank you so much. Now tell people how to find your love. How do people give love to you and share and exchange love and information?
So they can find me on Facebook if they do a search for Little Lotus Ayurveda. And Ayurveda is AYURVEDA. And then my website is my first name and last initial. It's CHELYNNT .com.
Excellent. Do you want to say that again?
Sure. It's CHELYNNT.com.
Thank you. Cause there's lots of letters there and people need to, So, and, are you giving any, are you at any conferences or anything like that?
Hmm.
Or are you just, are you going to knuckle down and write that book?
Yeah.
How's that novel of yours coming along?
Yeah. The book is, I actually would like to, I keep having it in my mind for, a few years out, creating a consciousness conference here in Western Massachusetts. So maybe you'll come out and be a part of that. That's sort of been in my mind. So creating a gathering of people, expanding our consciousness and exploring those ideas.
That sounds pretty awesome, actually.
That and including, you know, free energy and, you know, alternative technologies, because we need to really move on that. It's getting ridiculous here.
Yes, indeed. So, I mean, you know, well, you're in Massachusetts, right?
Yeah, I'm in Western Mass, and I know you have Jessica. Jess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to get in touch with her, actually.
Because she's putting a healing center now.
Great. Okay.
So, she has weekly gatherings and stuff like that. So that'd be fabulous. That'd be really fabulous.
She's North Shore. She's north of Boston. That's about 2.5-3 hours from me. But I'll try to contact her.
Excellent. Right. Yeah. So.
Thank you, JP, so much. It's always so much fun. And I hope to be back, if it works out for you, the juncture between winter and spring.
So that'll be about my birthday time, actually.
Yay.
So, now where did I put that? I've just saved it and, I can't find where I put it. Hang on. Let me just, I'll just play it from here. This is the outro. So thank you very much, everybody. This has been Ever Beyond with Shailene Tetreault and myself, JP. Thank you so much, Shailene.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Beyond.